This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with bolt cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Quentin Post?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just trying to accentuate every syllable like Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, but
Dub Nation, it's Quentin Post.
See what I mean?
Dub Nation, this is Andrew Wiggins.
I think Andrew's just—he's just soft. He's not—he's not that pronounced with his syllables.
He is though.
No, not really. Like he's just—he's just soft. He just has nothing to say.
But he accentuates every syllable.
Dub Nation, it's Andrew Wiggins.
Yes, he's more flow to me. Is Andrew Wiggins?
I was mediocre as always, and we still won like, on 95.7 The Game.
Like Quentin does not want you to call him Quentin. He wants you to call him Quentin.
Right.
Quentin Post. And your picks stink.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know you, Dibs, but in March, your picks are awesome. Other than that, your picks do stink.
But it's almost April.
I know. I got a couple more for you.
Better get it in.
Tomorrow, I'll have some Sweet 16 locks. And then, of course, I'll leave with a couple of Friday women's basketball picks to tide you over.
Those are easy.
Just okay.
Take the favorite every time.
Right?
Well, honestly, that's my advice in women's basketball. You'll lose some, but you'll win money.
Yeah.
Bet all the favorites every time. -37.5, do it. Lay it.
Hammer
Lay
it.
Lay the points.
Yep.
Every time. All the time. You'll be fine. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And first two rounds, you get to the 16,
yeah, once
it
you
does get a little bit.
Get to the final four, stop. Just stop and count your money and then stop betting. That's my advice.
And I'll check the USC line after they lose Juju with the torn ACL because they're still really, really good.
Still, yeah, they were still great but, that night.
Right. And still a one seed, but yeah, you hated to see that. Mm. Just a terrible, terrible result. Yeah.
Absolutely brutal. All right, 888-957-9570. What we're talking about is just an open-ended question to all of you. What's bugging you about the Golden State Warriors right now? Because you could go just about anywhere. My answer was, I get why they're saying it. But it's tiring to hear the parade of, well, the other team gets up for the Warriors, we get their best shot, somebody goes off, or my favorite catch-all, we weren't ready to play. Mm. I don't even know what that means. Like, I know how fans process it. We point right at the head coach and go, why didn't you give them your win one for the Gipper speech
exactly.
That got everybody inspired so they could jump out of their shoes and play great? But that's not what NBA basketball looks like. There are no pregame inspirational Newt Rockney speeches. That's not what a game looks and sounds like on a Tuesday night. Like, these are 30-something-year-old men. Yeah, some 20-something-year-old men, but making millions of dollars, and you go out there and you have a game plan and you try to execute it, and the Warriors had their uniforms. They were on time. They had their shoes. The announcers announced them. They all went out on the floor. Therefore, they were ready to play. I thought there was only one comment from anyone with the Warriors that actually, to me, was a real thing after the game. And it was this from Jimmy Butler.
We definitely need 30 back. But we want them to be right. We're still expecting to win. We got to put up a better effort than what we put up the last two games. But if he's back, I think it's a little bit different.
Okay, that's it. We need Steph Curry back.
But we need to put up a better effort than we did the last two nights.
Of course.
And that's the part that I'm fixated on. And yes, of course you need one of the greatest players ever in the history of the association. Yeah, of course you need him to play to be at your best. But short of that, you got to show up, especially in these first quarters where you come out and you can't hit a shot, you can't get a stop, and you fall behind again for how many games in a row now where the first quarter just gets away from you and you're chasing it now and you're chasing it without 30, who is the number one guy who can help you come back. He's a 9-0 run waiting to happen on three straight possessions.
I mean, by the way, we're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco, and all of us here at 95.7 The Game, just thrilled to have Laughing Monk along and involved in what we're all doing. Great place to go watch games, and we got a run of a lot of games here. The Madness is back starting tomorrow. We'll be over at Splash, but Laughing Monk, great place to get some food, some drink, and check out basketball, whether it's Warriors College or, heck, anything else. Right, so sure, there's the Steph Curry part of it. But here's kind of what I'm getting at. I don't think you can come out of a game like last night and start talking about we weren't ready or we weren't focused or we played poorly or our effort wasn't there. All those, to me, those are all buzzwords. I look at it more through this lens. This was on TNT. This was anticipated from the moment you got traded here. People started circling this game. You got totally smacked in the mouth in your last game on Saturday in Atlanta, and you are fully aware that the standings could not be any tighter. So if you're going to gather all those facts up and tell me that you weren't ready to play, then something's wrong with you. Like, something's really, really wrong with you. Like, you need a therapist. I'm not kidding.
Maybe a motivational speaker.
If you're not ready to play, you need a therapist. You need an intervention. What the hell kind of a response is that to, we're in Miami, game two of a road trip that's gotten off to a terrible start. People are lined up outside to boo Jimmy Butler. Pat Riley's in the building and Jimmy hates him. And oh, by the way, you're down your best player. And that's what you're going to give us after the game? We weren't ready? Well, the other team tries really hard because the Warriors are here.
Exactly.
What?
Well,
you need to be shaken if that's the problem.
I guess it's the problem because he said that that's the problem. And if that really is where we are, and I understand that it's been a long year, and that was game 72 of 82, and you're probably tired, and you flew cross country to play Atlanta, and they stuck it to you, and now you had a couple nights off to rest up and get ready for Miami, and you know everybody was ramped up, and Draymond even said it on his podcast. Oh yeah, Jimmy's going to be on 10. Jimmy's going to be at 10, and I know Jimmy, and he's going to be a 10 on the readiness meter. And then you come out, and Jimmy's at about a 4, and Draymond's at about a 4, and everybody for the most part was just kind of, you know, they're out there playing, but you didn't feel the urgency watching it, and they fell behind again, and they had a quick rally, and you mentioned it, after they got within 8, late in the third quarter, Miami actually went on a 10-0 run over the end of the third and then the beginning of the fourth, and they put it back to 18, and it was night-night.
Yeah, I'm just like, you go through all the comments that we heard. Here's Steve Kerr.
You know, it wasn't our best stuff, clearly. You know, we couldn't make a shot. 9 for 38. They go 17 for 25. I just give them credit. You know, we played very poorly, but, you know, it's not like, you know, we were throwing the ball around the gym. We had some shot clock violations because they played great defense. We didn't connect the game very well, and they just lit it up. Spo had them ready to play, as we would expect, you know, given the circumstances, with Jimmy coming back. And they were ready, and they knocked everything down early, and we missed everything, and we were playing upstream the whole game.
Okay, so like, even listen to Steve, He's like, well, it's not like we were just turning the ball all over the place. Okay, Steve. Like, do you want to know what, like, seemingly none of them will get to is just, like, we were thoroughly outplayed and seemingly just don't have the energy for this. Like, I don't know what else.
Well, they're not ever going to say that.
Right.
And he did
That's
say.
That's my point.
He did give Coach Spo credit, you know, Eric Spoelstra for having his team ready. And they did knock down a lot of shots early. But, you know, in general, when you watch the game, yeah, they didn't turn it over a lot. But when they had the ball, they didn't put it in the basket either. So, yeah, you didn't have a lot of turnovers. You didn't have a lot of assists because he couldn't make shots. And defensively, they had a lot of open shots and they knocked him down. And that's why you got run out of the gym, especially in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they're classy and they're professional. So, like, they don't want to do a press conference that basically has four words, which is what they could do if they really wanted to get real. Steph Curry didn't play.
Yeah.
Well, what about that, Coach? We're not very good without him. We're just not. And who knows? Like, they're too veteran-laden of a team for Steve to have that kind of a press conference. That's kind of a college or a high school type of a response, right, where you're trying to get something extra out of those guys. Listen to this. This one's a fascinating one. Anthony Slater asked him about their offensive issues.
Beyond just, obviously, as you mentioned, just missing shots, what problems do you feel like need to be solved offensively right now?
Well, you know, we're having to sort of make some decisions based on spacing, you know, and without Steph. And so I the decision I made tonight was to start Gary in order to guard Hero, and I thought he did a really good job on him early. And so I like the way the game went in the first quarter for the most part. We just couldn't make anything. So I'll look at the tape, but I liked a lot of the looks we got early in the game. Some nights they don't go in. I'm very confident, you know, with what we're doing, because over the last whatever 20 games since we've had Jimmy, we're a top five offensive team. So tonight wasn't our night, but I'm very confident that we'll be fine Friday.
How about that?
I mean, he was struggling to find the right way to get started to explain it. And I think you said it on our show thread earlier, like, the real answer is, I don't know who to play, or I can't play who I want to play. And so I'm kind of just throwing it against the wall now.
We're not very good when Steph Curry's not on the team.
Right. And you've got too many guys offensively who aren't threats.
And
we talk about the three-point shooting, and you could look up and down the lineup, and a lot of those guys you shouldn't expect to be able to shoot the three.
All right. Nowhere near done yet. Your calls. What's bugging you about the Warriors? 888-957-9570. Deborah leads us off. We're sponsored by Honda of Vallejo, and this is Withered and Dibs.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not sitting here telling you that you're not allowed to win games when your best player is out. But I am here to tell you that your expectations for any team missing their best player should change. They absolutely should. I'm not offering that just to the Warriors. I'm offering that to everybody. Absolutely everybody. Steph Curry is not there. That is automatically a worse team. Jokic is not there. That is automatically a lesser team. They're allowed to win games. They just did. They came in here and whipped the Warriors without Nikola Jokic. LeBron James is out. That's a worse team. Jaren Jackson is out. It's a worse team. Kawhi Leonard is out. Worse team. You get the idea. So I guess today for me, Dibs, is a little bit of a combo platter. It's not a panic. I'm not going to panic when Steph Curry has only played three of the last 16 quarters for the Warriors. There's no panic, but there's plenty of frustration. There's plenty of frustration and pointing out where this conversation started a week ago, which is that I am having a hard time buying that the Warriors are Steve Wilkes built for this.
Depends on if he is built for this. And Jimmy Butler in his comments last night, we need 30 back. And Steve Kerr earlier this week when we had him on the show and I asked him about the Warrior culture, and he said Steph Curry is the Warrior culture. And then he went into more detail about what the exact culture is. And I'm in the midst, Mark, of breaking down the non-Steph games this year and how they went, because we know that the Warriors this year, I believe, are 7-5 when he doesn't play.
Is that where it's at?
I think that's the number.
Okay.
Because Steph Curry is 34-26, so they're 7-5 without Steph. And I'm just going through three-point percentages in the games when Steph didn't play. First game he missed against New Orleans, they won. They went 21-46 from three. They 21-46. There's
Say
another
that
one that's going to stun you
Say
even
that
more.
That was the Lindy Waters game, if you remember.
Oh,
thank you. I'll never forget
it. That was the one that led to my take that they should want Lindy Waters in there more than D'Anthony Melton.
Right.
I did that for a day.
And they ended up trading both of them.
Yeah.
So that one aged okay.
Not really, but anyway, go ahead.
They beat New Orleans again two nights later.
Yep.
They went 13-38, which is right about their season average, and they got a win. I won't run through all of it, but I'll tell you a couple. One, they beat Houston in overtime, and they were 15-32 from three.
Okay.
They lost to the Clippers without Steph. They were 7-38 from three, which is an 18.4%. They beat Memphis by 8. They were 23-43, no Steph from 3. So it kind of leads to my earlier point of Steph or no Steph, they shoot almost more threes than anyone other than Boston. And if they make their threes without Steph, they're going to win.
Dude,
if they don't make the threes without Steph, you're getting hammered.
There is a piece of this that almost feels like the curtain is getting pulled back on the Wizard of Oz. This is not great for the drama of the league, for the intrigue of the league, or the ratings of 95.7 the game, because everybody wants more analysis than that. They want more opinion than that, but that is what you just said is a reality. It is an unfortunate reality of today's NBA. People fire up crap loads of threes. And if a decent north of 40% of them go in, you win.
Yep.
And if less than 30% of them go in, you lose. And it's somewhere in the middle where the clutch game happens. That's the deal. That's the deal. And I know that that robs us of our heroes, okay? But I still think that you can tuck into that the presence of Steph Curry, because he is a star player, and oh, by the way, he's also their best three-point shooter. So all of those aspects, they become tougher. Your best three-point shooter's not there, and your spacing gets messed up when Steph Curry's not out there, because they get to guard you more. Because when Steph's on the court, they don't guard you.
Right.
Moses can just stand by himself in the corner, and nobody cares. Draymond, your threes couldn't be more wide open. Right, so that's the trickle down effect. So it's a little of both, but what you're saying is reality.
Right,
it's just reality. They have not made their 3-point attempts on this road trip.
They shot 26% in a game without Steph, 10 of 38, 26%. You think they won that game?
No,
they lost by 12 to Indiana. They shot 32% against Houston and won. That was the 99-93 funky game.
30% something, that's the middle ground. That's where the close games come.
And that's when Kuminga scored, I think, at then a career high, like 34.
Yes.
They were 16 of 50 against OKC. 32%. They lost by
that's
4.
That's a loss.
But it's a clutch game.
It's a close one,
to your
yes.
point. Yep. And not to bury everyone with numbers, but I was just looking at the stats for the entire league. 42% of all field goal attempts in the association are threes. 42%. So we talk about it being a make or miss league. It's become such a make or miss league so as to become a little bit mundane. And that is something that Adam Silver and company, I do think, have to fix, because I'm all for the three, but it's become just the three. It's drive to the hoop. And who can I kick it out to? And then it's another kick out, another kick out, another kick out.
That's a piece of it. Like, I've reasoned with all the three-point shooting, but there's about two or three possessions a game that do feel frustrating, where somebody literally drives inside and seemingly has a layup or a really high percentage look, and they kick it back out.
Right.
They kick it back out for a three. You know, maybe that's analytics. Maybe it's habit. Maybe it's some of both. I don't know. But
it's analytics.
Yeah,
because,
it's not great.
Well, in the league-wide, even if the league shoots 33%, and if you shoot 43s a game and you shoot 33%, that's, you know, basically 13 makes. And if you shoot 52s and you shoot 50% on those, that's 25 makes. So you probably get more bang for your buck on the three based on how many you're going to take. And look at Boston. They shoot about 54% of their shots from three.
Really good at it, though.
Right. And well, really, they have, like, really good everybody can shoot it.
Yeah. They surround the three-point arc with a lot of people who make a lot of shots. The weird thing about Boston, you watch a game, everybody's sort of like the perception that's like, oh, it's Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and then, you know, they got Derek White out there, maybe sprinkling a little bit of Al Horford. That's Boston. They bring in a second unit. It's like literally with a bunch of white dudes you've never heard of, and they're out there just crushing threes. Like, I don't even know who half those dudes are. And they will just kill you with the three-point shot.
It's all they do.
Yeah, that's it. And they're out there winning championships.
Yeah.
So, you know, a piece of it is that. The Warriors just missed all their shots on these two games so far. Let's go to Deborah in San Leandro. Hi, Deborah. And we're asking callers, what's bugging you? What is bothering you most about the Warriors right now? Deborah, thank you for the call. What's up?
All right, thank you, guys. Look, I won't take up your whole show because I could, but let me tell you. So I was really high. I'm saying, okay, we have the potential. Yeah, we could. If we get in a seven-game series because of our experience and because our guys think the game, our main guys, we could win a series or two, right? And then I'm looking at them playing Atlanta, and I'm looking at them playing the Heat, and I'm saying they're missing. They don't have it. I don't feel they have what it takes to win at all now. I felt they had it, but I don't. Because I don't want to hear about, like you said, we're not up for the game. That has nothing to do with your defense. You play defense. They're not playing defense. They're making awful passes. And it's a mental thing. It's not a physical thing. It's a mental thing to me. And that's what I have a problem with.
I totally agree, Deborah. That's why I said what I said 15 minutes ago. If it I get it. This is media speak from a lot of these guys after games, and that's the way you have to handle it. You have to say what you have to say, and it has to be kind of honest, but not brutally honest. Like, it's a little game that everybody plays. But if this was all totally factual, then the Warriors need therapy. Like, if you literally are having a hard time getting ready to play, if you're literally having a hard time putting out effort in moments like these, if the other team, quote, wants it more.
Right.
All of these cliches, if that were actually totally true, then yes, I wouldn't look to acquire Jimmy Butler. I'd look to acquire a psychologist, because that's crazy. You can't tell me that a team that is supposedly made up of champions who are, as we've been told, obsessed with a fifth ring for Steph Curry. Do they look obsessed to you? And by the way, I think they are. I think they are. So it's not a matter of them not being ready. It's a matter of they've got some holes. They're not a great team. They're a good team. They're not a great team. But they have got to make shots, number one, and they have to be whole. That's just how I feel. I think the Warriors can possibly maneuver in the playoffs, but they've got to be whole.
Agreed. But in the meantime, when you're not whole, you've got to show more in the effort category than you did the last two games. And it hasn't totally shaken me off of the idea that I think that they should be able to get into a second series, but the last two losses have shaken me. And you and I joked before the show, you're like, why don't you ask me the question you always ask me about over-under playoff wins?
Do it.
You've been under 4.5 playoff wins for the Warriors, meaning you don't think that they're going to win a series. And I told you before the show, I'm not going to ask you, because after these last two games, why would your answer change?
It wouldn't.
Even a little bit more cemented in the reality.
I'm not convinced they're going to get a series.
Right.
So that's not me saying they can't. That's me saying that if you want me to bet my money right now on that, that's clearly the favorite. That's clearly where the odds would go, which is the Warriors not winning one playoff series, because they haven't even secured a series yet. Not even right. close.
Well, and if you wind up in the play-in and you wind up as the 8 seed and you get Oklahoma City, who still has a chance to win 70 games. They're 60-12. Well, I doubt they'll push for that, but if you look at the list of teams who've won 65 or more games, there's a large percentage of them who go on to win the NBA championship. And I mentioned this before about their plus-minus point differential. They're number one all-time right now. I'll say it again. Their point differential is number one all-time.
12.9 right now.
Right. And teams that are 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 all went on to win the championship in that season where they were among this elite group. So, yeah, count me out on the Warriors being able to upset OKC. Can you get the 6 and get a favorable matchup against the 3? Sure. Are you still able to right the ship after these two bad losses? Of course. But what you said about them being whole, absolutely.
You better be whole.
Well, and I don't think you need to be whole against New Orleans or San Antonio, but
I do.
Well, no matter what you got to go out and show more effort.
Well, but again, I don't want to fall into, oh, if they're playing bad, that must mean that they're not trying. They are trying. This is their best on some nights. If Steph's
that's not good enough.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
And I don't know if that's their best.
I mean, this is what they've got right now. If Steph's not there and the role players aren't hitting shots, this is what it looks like.
Fair enough. Well,
this is it. This isn't a poor effort or a weird night. This is it. That's a night where shots aren't falling for role players. That's what it looks like. It's not a very good team.
Even when shots are falling for role players, and I'm going to go to the next game on my list, you shot 16 of 38, 42% from 3 without Steph. You lost to Atlanta by 9. You gave up a buck 24. So that game right now on my list of non-Steph games is the outlier. You shot it really well. 42% from 3, 16 makes. Atlanta shot it better. Your defense stunk.
Yep.
And, you know, Draymond talked about it being a bad loss and this can't happen and this and that. So that's the one that kind of stings because, yeah, last night you shot it terribly. You lost. No Steph. That's predictable, and I should share this pattern with everyone through some social media because other than the Atlanta game, no Steph Curry, you shoot it less than average, you lose. You shoot it better than average, you win.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Atlanta game, though, is the weird one because you did shoot 42% from 3, and you still lost by almost double digits.
Yeah, they kept chasing him. Like, I will give him that. In the Atlanta game, that was a much more entertaining game than the one last night. Because they kept chasing him. Like, they kept coming. They kept, like, okay, we got behind, but we're going to make a run. We're going to make a run. And they kept coming and staying in the game, but they just couldn't get stops. They could not get stops, so they lose that game. Last night, as I said, last night was something that happens every July 4th for people who love to have that little party on their driveway. Just one out of every 9 fireworks, just poof, total dud. Total dud. I couldn't believe that was last night's game. After all that excitement, that was what they had for the world? I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Fans there didn't even care.
Well, they were booing him early.
Yeah,
and
they mustered up some booze, you know, whatever, have a couple drinks. But, like, Steve said it after the game. He's like, yeah, that was not an intense environment at all. Nothing.
Well, the Warriors didn't allow it to get intense. You go down by 17 at the half, and just looking at the Atlanta game, you were minus 17 after the opening 12 minutes. So as much as you shot it well, you dug such a hole, and that's been a big part of this. And, you know, we can listen to all the sound bites about, you know, we didn't come ready to play and whatnot. It's been the first quarter, Mark. It's been, for me, and I'll go through the non-Steph games and see what their first quarter differential is, but it really feels like even when he's out there a lot of the time, they're just not a good first quarter team.
Here's what Steve Kerr said last night when he was asked about the environment.
I didn't know what was going on pregame because there was a video with no sound. So I was wondering what was happening. You know, Miami is it's a great place to live. So people don't ever seem too amped up around here. And they're living the good life. So it really wasn't that rabid of an environment. It was typical Miami. I think the main part of Jimmy's return is that the Heat were ready, and Spo had him ready. And, I mean, you shoot 17 for 25 from three, you're going to win. But I thought it was how hard they played, how well they competed. They took it to us tonight.
It's kind of an interesting comment in there. Somewhere tucked in there, it sounds like Steve Kerr is insinuating that you only are able to muster up big-time, hardcore, kind of controversial environments at a sports sporting event if you live in a place where people have a hard time enjoying their lives.
I do think that it's somewhat of a fair comp.
I mean, it's not, yeah, like not 100% of the time. But he's like, yeah, people don't get amped up out here. California has the exact same reputation.
Right. Like Giants games until 10, 12, and 14, you were hard-pressed to really find a jacked-up crowd. And I remember the early days of Pac Bell Park when it opened, now Oracle Park, where a lot of people were critical of, oh, these new fans, and they're not like the Candlestick fans that were so hardcore, and, you know, 4,700 fans at Candlestick, and we got after it, and these fans are different. And, well, when you win, it gets loud and it gets crazy out here. And I think it's the same for Miami, where Miami right now, what? They're the 10th seed, and you traded away your star, who was somebody you could kind of root for, and are we going to get crazy for Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson?
I don't know, but I mean, it's like, I didn't know this about Miami, but I heard it a bunch yesterday because of the whole Jimmy Butler thing, and people wanted to know what the reaction would be, but everyone said in Miami the crowd always arrives really, really late. And I think about how when the Warriors are in the playoffs, literally the Warriors, like Steve Kerr, will publicly at press conferences, like, games start early. Could you please all be in your seat at the start of the game? We don't want tip-off to happen with a building that's three-quarters full. You don't have to do those things in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that in Cleveland.
What do you got in Oklahoma City?
Right, right. You're there at 3 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game.
Yeah, and especially, though, because it's like super fresh and new. And I remember the first Warrior Championship run at Oracle where you'd have Let's Go Warrior chants 45 minutes before tip because it was something that we had never seen.
Exactly.
It was something special and the first time, and you had 98% of fans wearing the T-shirt that they would give you. And
and that happens, right? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? If the Giants went to the World Series again this year.
You know, they're allowed to.
If the Giants went to the World Series, would Oracle Park be as loud as it was 15 years ago?
Probably not.
Yeah, I'd argue no. Kind of like Red Sox. There's just like...
Well, I wonder about Cleveland this year. Like, if Cleveland goes on a run, will Cleveland be as loud and as wild as they were the first time LeBron got it done, or the first time LeBron brought them to it?
It's a good question. You know, I wonder. I'm not sure. I don't know. You know? I've never even been to Cleveland.
It's a great question.
Me either. Yeah.
I don't know. But I do think when a city has had that long, long, long angst, and then it happens, well, it's like, okay, now we've got it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that the Cubs, if they go to the World Series, that would be huge and the fan base would be crazy, but you'd be missing that, like, I am about to cry heavy tears if they win the World Series. You would just be like, let's get drunk. They're going to win the World Series. But a few years ago, it was like, I'm going to cry like my grandpa wanted to see this and never saw like that thing. Great. Hey, let's drink. There you go. And 2010 for Giants fans, I know it did for me, it had some of that. Dude, I bawled when they won the 2010 World Series. I didn't when they won in 12 and 14.
Right. Because you've been there, done that.
Yeah.
And it's... And different cities are, you know, have different responses. Like Arizona, Phoenix is not, you know, a super passionate sports town either. But, you know, when they, like when the Diamondbacks won it, they didn't really have that long history of pain and angst. I don't think it was the same level of tears.
Some of it is just the cold. Just the weather, which is a weird thing to say, but I really do think that that's it. Like, if it's...
Think about if Buffalo ever wins the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
You want to talk about, like, weeping.
That's it. Like, done.
Yeah. Shut the place down for 4 days.
We can move to Siberia now. That's right. It. That's it. We don't need anything else in life. That's it. But when it's warm, people are just like, yeah, we're good. We're good with whatever happens. It'd be nice. Like, we're into it, but, you know, it's warm. So it's fine. And I think that's kind of, it sounds to me like that's what Miami's like. All right. our friend Bonte Hill's going to join us next hour.
Can't wait.
So that we can talk out Warrior basketball a little bit further. We'll play a little bit more for you in terms of what Draymond had to say last night, what Jimmy Butler had to say last night, what Steve Kerr had to say last night. But today is mainly about you. We are taking your phone calls because it is a day of all-encompassing frustration, I think, for Warrior fans. So let it out. We're doing our own sort of Warrior version of what's bugging you, what we normally do in the crossover on Fridays. But yeah, what is it? What is bugging you? Is it Steve Kerr? Is it Jimmy Butler? Is it the defense? Is it the offense? Is it Anthony Slater? I mean, whatever it is.
Wow.
I don't know. Whatever it is, let's hear it. What's bothering you about the Warriors? We'll keep taking your calls. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good, Willard and Dibbs. Help me with this. Let me make sure I'm going to remember correctly. Slow-mo to the Warriors this year was Sean Manaea to the Giants the year before.
Pretty good.
He's the guy who, and it's like, it's low pro. I don't think anybody really knows about it. But he arrived and was all happy, and then the role just kind of whoop went that way, and he was left in the back going, excuse me, what are you doing with me? And then went somewhere else and is probably a little bit more activated than not with the idea of beating that team, even though his time here was short.
Yes, and his role there is also short. And if you look at his game log in Miami, got a healthy dose of DNPs. It's not like he's gone there
he's probably not enjoying life very much this year.
I'm just looking.
I mean, he's enjoying life. He makes a whole lot of money.
Four of their last 10 games.
Okay.
With Miami. Yeah, including three straight DNPs, and then the Warriors come to town, and he gets 20 minutes.
Dude.
He's a plus 24.
NBA trades are wild now.
Sean Manaea had a pretty good year last year
for
the Mets.
For the Mets, he was really good. Yeah, look what happened when you let him just pitch.
Well, and he came on our show, and he answered a fairly innocuous question about, like, bullpen is starting. What do you think? And I like to start.
Yeah, and he's like,
I'm kind of into starting.
Yeah, kind of like that's what I came here to do.
Right. I remember that.
That'd be good if I could do that.
Yeah, I can't be the throwing Simone if they don't let me throw.
That's right. No, there were a good number of Ross Striplings and Confortos, and people tried to make Jock Peterson into one of them, but he was just a smiley, portly fella who was like, no, I'm here to hit home runs off right-handers.
Yeah.
And I don't care if they pull me.
And then to play cards in the clubhouse.
Exactly.
And I give you a four for your analogy. That was a good analogy.
I'm glad it worked.
Alex Wood.
Yeah.
Alex Wood. Very, very good. Alex Wood. But Alex had no point in my... He was wrong. Because he would pitch and he would stink. He's like, I want to pitch past the fifth inning. And then he would. And the ball would go flying over the fence every time.
Which is not good.
Like Alex.
Yeah.
Go sit down. There were two guys who were really, really wrong with their whole, like, I'm mad at Gabe Kapler and Farhan Zaidi. And it was Alex Wood, and it was that cat who got sent down the day after screaming at Gabe on the mound. Well, who
is
that?
Is that Littell?
He's in the Braves starting rotation. Zach Littell.
He's in the rotation?
Their fifth starter.
Was he last year?
I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I think so.
Zach Littell.
Kyle Anderson, 15 games with the Heat, 15 minutes a game.
Okay.
So,
whatever.
Yeah, it's not.
No,
yeah, NBA, he went from ninth man to ninth man.
NBA basically. Trades are weird. It's really weird. It's like the Warriors and the Heat made a deal, and then everybody just got thrown onto the floor, and you're like, and then I don't know. But one of them's in Detroit, and one of them, you don't know where the hell people are going to end up. I wasn't even sure where Kyle ended up in that whole thing.
Dennis Schroeder got traded like three times
right.
in an hour.
Ended up on two different teams, and he's with Detroit. I think Lindy Waters is in Detroit. Did Waters end up in Detroit, too?
Sounds familiar.
And then Wiggins is in Miami. And then that's where Kyle is, too. Kaboom.
Yeah. $9.2 million next year for slow-mo.
Right.
$9.7 the year after that is not guaranteed.
No, but he lives in Miami and makes $10 million a year.
Right.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I'm gonna limit the amount of tears I shed. Although I'm sure as a basketball player, you'd like to play basketball.
I'd like to play.
You know, it's kind of like if you have a job broadcasting and, you know, you get bought out, but you get banned from working for 2 or 3 years. It's like,
brother,
you're paid, but you'd love to do what you love to do, but you can't because...
So you just cruise around smiling.
Yeah.
It's basically what Nick Friedell is doing. Right?
Essentially.
If you could
Yes.
Yeah. If you could pay me $9 million a year, ask me to work 15 minutes a day, live in Miami, and have the nickname Slow-Mo, I'm in.
That's going to be a yes for me, dog.
My nickname is Slow-Mo.
Yeah.
I live in Miami and make $9 million a year. I'm okay.
And then you get 20 minutes against your former team, and you just get to come out and put it on them. Plus 24. Kaboom.
Seriously.
Anyway. Kaboom. Not that they needed his 7 points, but I'm sure it was fun for him going out there, knocked down three. And
it didn't hurt.
The whole deal. Etches. Yeah, I'm trying not to take too much from last night because, as you heard Tim Roy on the rejoinder, the sound coming in, as hot, as cold as the Warriors are, Miami is equally hot. So there was a good amount of that last night, 17 of 25 from three.
But it's bothering people. I know this is bothering
for
people.
For sure.
I know, like, I feel you, Warrior fan. This is bothering people that whether it is the Warriors, whether it's the play-by-play of it, whether it's us after the games the next day, where we go, oh, the other team was just hot. So what are you going to do? Like, I know it. People, are fans are not buying it. It's like you can't, the other team is not hot every night. And I know the Warriors have won a lot more than they've lost of late. So we are overreacting to maybe two games. But even in wins, when you see Toronto play the way they do, and you have to grind out a very close game at home, and I know Steph missed the fourth and all of that, but when Steph was in there and when Steph wasn't in there, it all looked the same. They were losing when Steph was in against Toronto, and they were doing whatever they wanted offensively. Like, how many times in a row can you just be like, well, the other team got hot, before you go, maybe it's something we're doing that's allowing them to be hot? Could that be it?
Could be.
I know that's how fans are feeling.
Absolutely. And, you know, you could talk about the defensive rating, and they're now number two in defensive rating since the All-Star break, second only to the continuing to be scorching hot Detroit Pistons, Mark. The Warriors are number two in defensive rating, which rates how many points you give up per 100 possessions. It's a good, solid metric of how good you are on defense. They're number two since the break. But, yeah, you have a team shoot 68% from three. It can't be that all 25 of those shots were hotly contested and they got lucky.
Yeah.
There was a lot of just flat-out open threes.
Yeah, they're moving faster than you are. That's it. They're just moving faster than you are. We weren't ready to play. No, they're moving faster than you are.
Yeah. But they're younger than you, and if you don't come out with max effort and max energy, then you're going to get run off the court.
Like, this is, and we'll go to the phones here literally in just a sec, but this is that the push-pull that I feel about the Warriors right now. I do think, A, don't overreact. It's two road games without Steph Curry. Don't overreact. At the same time, don't underreact. Don't underreact. I don't buy this whole, like, you know, the other teams get up for us. We get every team's best shot. At minimum, there's a lot of teams that could say that. The Lakers can say that. And the Knicks can say that.
Boston.
And then the actual teams that are actually the big dogs, the Thunder, the Cavs, people get up for that. They get up for that. And like, if you're a really good team, you handle that. Like, when the Warriors won 73 games, I bet everybody got really up for them.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
They were defending champs.
Yeah.
And you won 73 of 82, and then the next year you got KD, and you're telling me that everybody wasn't getting up for that every night.
Beyond.
So, right. And yet you still were able to win back-to-back NBA championships. And here, Draymond Green talks about how, yeah, we're going to win the championship. And then after a night like last night, it's, well, you know, every team's getting up for us. And, you know, they want to take us down because we're the dynasty and this and that. For me, you can't have it both ways.
Stacy in Oakland here on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Stacy. Thanks for calling.
Gentlemen, love you. Hopelessly devoted. If I had one wish, my Make-A-Wish Foundation would be to spend an hour with you guys. You're amazing. So I've got a couple of points. Just indulge me here.
Okay.
One, I'd be less upset with all the threes they chuck up, if there was somebody under the cup ready to do the ready to put it back. I haven't heard Tim Roy say with authority for the Warriors in forever.
That's mainly because it's Larry Beal's line, but that's it's okay. It's okay, Stacey. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm in traffic. It just feels like they're playing volleyball at the net. I want you guys to reach back and remember that one game where they had four missed opportunities for the putback. I want to see somebody slam it down. Where is Eric Congo? Drive to the paint. Attack. You spend all that time in the weight room. You have all these muscles. Jump. Get that rebound. Put it back. What's happening, guys?
Well, I do think this. Stacey, appreciate it. And probably if you wanted to come spend an hour with us, you just need to ask. But anyway, I think this about almost every NBA team. They've all got some warts, and you have to sort of accentuate what you do well and then press that against what the other team does really well. And so I do hear this sometimes from Warrior fans where it sort of sounds like every time they lose, we've got to start harping on the things that they don't do well, even though that's always been the case. Like, my favorite one that I hear from people is, when are we going to get a big man? Well, you didn't have a big man 3 years ago.
Not
and
really.
You won a ring.
I mean, you had big men, but they were largely your ninth and tenth guy.
Bob
you had
Myers,
JaVale, you had buckets, you had...
You remember when Bob Myers sat with us and he was like, people were crushing me at the deadline for not getting a big man. And then we won a ring. So... And Kevon Looney played like a star underneath. So that's never going to be the Warriors' thing, offensive rebounding and putbacks. Yes.
They are number four this year in offensive rebounds.
That's great.
Per game.
That's great. But they're not going to make a bunch of money down low, you know, grinding out, muscle, putback kind of a thing.
Tip like jams.
Yeah, like Cleveland Cavaliers. I look at them and I'm like, dude, they have such a presence down inside the paint. There are just teams that are going to be better at that. Look, the Warriors have to hit threes. They just have to hit threes, or else they're going to lose the basketball game. And so, A, they didn't last night, and B, their best, the best three-point shooter who's ever lived isn't there. You know, like, I wonder, how would you answer this? Today is a doldrums day. Now for the Warriors. The whole week is going to be, because they don't play again until Friday night.
Right.
You expect them to win Friday?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. See,
I expect them to win the next two.
That's what's interesting to me. Like, we can sit here and be like, this stinks, it's wrong, blah, blah, blah. Oh, but they'll win Friday. Why? Why do you think they're going to win Friday?
Because they're better and because 30 will be back.
There you go.
I do think that he'll be back. No official confirmation of Steph Curry playing or not playing, but my expectation would be he comes back. You're right, though, about the three. If they make their threes, they're going to win. I'm looking at the game log, and when they shoot 45%, they have only lost twice. They're 10-2 when they shoot 45%. And on the other side, when teams shoot more than 40% against them, you lose most of those games. So it's a make-or-miss league, and when you don't have Steph, you're counting on everybody else to at least be decent. Be decent. Let's get one guy to be hot. If it's Buddy or Quentin Post or whoever it is, if we can get one guy to hit four or five and the rest of you just aren't terrible, that's going to be a clutch game.
I'm in on the Warriors' new motto. I love it. Be decent.
Just be decent.
Warrior basketball. Be decent. Makes it sound like you want them to get dressed.
Well, okay.
Are you decent?
Are you decent?
Are you decent in there?
Last night they were not decent.
They were not.
Moses was 0-9.
They were all naked running around out there.
I mean, Moses 3-13. Even Buddy, 2-5. But that's a night where if Buddy can go crazy, maybe you got a chance in that game.
Are you listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And now, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios,